All right, let's dive in. Today we're tackling radio wave propagation.
Ooh, yeah.
How do these invisible waves carry our voices and data across vast distances?
It really is like magic, but luckily science can explain it.
And you brought a stack of sources. We've dug through them, and I gotta say, I'm excited to unpack this.
You too, me too.
We'll start with what radio waves actually are.
Right, the basics.
And then how they travel through the Earth's atmosphere.
And even further. We'll look at the sun's influence. It's huge.
Okay, so first things first, what are radio waves? They're like these invisible messengers, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're a type of electromagnetic wave. And get this, they travel at the speed of light.
Whoa, speed of light. That's fast.
Super fast. And just like light, they have different frequencies and wavelengths.
Okay, now don't lose me here. Frequencies, wavelengths. Can you break that down?
Of course. Think of waves in the ocean.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
The frequency is how many waves pass a point each second.
So like how often the waves crash on the shore.
Exactly. And the wavelength is the distance between those wave crests.
So like from the top of one wave to the top of the next.
I got it. And these two, frequency and wavelength, they're related.
How so?
Higher frequency means shorter wavelength. Lower frequency, longer wavelength. Like one of your sources mentioned the 10-meter band used in amateur radio. It operates around 28.495 megahertz.
Megahertz, a million cycles per second.
That's right. And using the formulas from your sources, that translates to a wavelength of roughly 10 meters.
So the frequency determines the band. That makes sense.
It does. And here's the mind-blowing part, the light we see.
Yeah.
It's also an electromagnetic wave.
Yeah.
Just a different frequency and wavelength. Our eyes are like antennas tuned to those specific light waves.
Wow. So our atmosphere, it's not just air. It's this invisible highway for all kinds of waves, including the ones that let us listen to the radio.
Exactly. And just like any highway, our atmosphere has its own structure. It's layered. And each layer affects those radio waves differently.
Layered? Like a cake?
Kind of. You've got the troposphere where we live, then the stratosphere, and then, this is the cool part, the ionosphere.
The ionosphere. What's special about that?
It's where the sun's radiation ionizes the air, creating different layers.
Ionizes, you mean like electrically charged?
Precisely. And these layers, they have names D, E, F1, and F2. They can act like mirrors, reflecting radio waves back down to Earth.
Like bouncing them around.
Exactly. That's what makes long-distance radio communication possible.
So some radio waves just travel along the ground, and others bounce off this ionosphere.
You got it. Ground waves, like those used by your local FM radio station, they hug the Earth's surface.
Okay, that makes sense. The signal gets weaker the farther you are from the station.
Right. But sky waves, they shoot up to the ionosphere and bounce back down sometimes thousands of miles away.
So that's how I can sometimes pick up radio stations from far away, especially at night.
You got it. And it all has to do with how those ionospheric layers change throughout the day.
Because of the sun.
You're catching on. The sun is the conductor of this whole radio wave orchestra. During the day, its radiation creates a strong D layer that absorbs lower frequency waves. But at night, the D layer weakens, allowing those waves to reach the higher F layer and travel much farther.
So at night, those lower frequency waves have a clearer path. That's why AM radio can reach farther at night, right?
Exactly. But it's not just time of day. The sun itself is constantly changing, and those changes affect radio waves in ways we haven't even touched on yet.
Wait, there's more. The sun is messing with our radio signals. I need detail.
Oh, there are so many details. Sunspots, solar flares, the solar wind.
Okay, slow down. Sunspots. What do those have to do with radio?
Like cooler regions on the sun's surface, but don't let that fool you.
Cooler, but the sun is like a giant ball of fire.
It is. But these sunspots, they're areas of intense magnetic activity, and they actually blast out extra radiation.
Radiation that affects the ionosphere.
Bingo. That extra radiation supercharges the ionosphere, making it even better at reflecting certain radio waves.
Okay, so more sunspots, stronger signals.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where something called the solar flux index comes in. It measures this radiation.
Yeah.
Higher index means a more energized ionosphere.
So if I'm an amateur radio operator, a high solar flux index is a good thing.
Especially if you like using higher frequency bands like the 10-meter band. When that index climbs over 100, things get exciting.
Exciting in the sense of being able to talk to people farther away?
Exactly. But that's just one piece of the puzzle. Remember the solar wind I mentioned?
The what now?
It's a stream of charged particles the sun constantly emits. It can buffet Earth's magnetic field, causing all kinds of changes.
Wait, is this related to the northern lights? Those are caused by, like, solar particles, right?
You're right. Those dazzling auroras happen when solar wind particles slam into our atmosphere near the poles. But this same interaction can disrupt radio communications, especially at higher latitudes.
So beautiful lights, but messy radio signals.
Sometimes, yeah. And we haven't even talked about solar flares yet.
Yeah.
Those are a whole other level of solar drama.
Solar flares. You're making the sun sound like a teenager.
Well, it does have its moods. And when it throws a tantrum, it can release these massive bursts of energy.
And those affect
everything.
What?
Radio waves, especially. They can cause blackouts, disruptions.
Hmm.
It can be a real mess.
So it's like the sun is playing with our communication systems.
In a way, yes. But luckily, there are some patterns to this solar behavior. We'll dig into those more next time because the sun's not done messing with us yet.
Oh, boy. So we've gone from invisible waves to sunspots to the Northern Lights.
And we're just getting started.
I can't wait to see what other surprises this radio wave journey has in store. But for now, we got to take a break.
Buckle up, because we're about to explore some seriously wild ways radio waves can travel.
Like bending the rules wild.
Exactly. Our sources mention things like sporadic E, where people use like toy walkie-talkies to talk over crazy long distances.
Toy walkie-talkies? Seriously?
Seriously. It's one of those radio mysteries that keeps us on our toes. Basically, picture this.
Okay, I'm picturing
a temporary layer of ionization pops up in the ionosphere.
A pop-up layer?
Yeah, like a flash mob for charged particles. It usually forms around the same altitude as the regular E layer.
But it's, like, unpredictable.
Totally. And get this, it seems to be more common during periods of low solar activity.
Wait, so less solar activity means more of this weird layer.
It's counterintuitive, right? But it seems like those quieter solar conditions let these temporary layers form more easily.
And these layers, they affect the signals how?
They can reflect radio waves on much higher frequencies than usual, even into the VHF band.
The VHF band, that's like FM radio and stuff, right?
Exactly. So you get these short bursts where communication is possible over huge distances. That's how people can chat on those little walkie-talkies over hundreds of miles.
So it's like a temporary radio boost.
You could say that. They're like these little windows of opportunity that open and close quickly.
Speaking of unusual paths, what about backscatter? I've seen that term thrown around.
Backscatter. Imagine bouncing a ball off a wall at an angle.
Okay, got it. It bounces off somewhere else.
Now imagine that wall is the ionosphere and the ball is a radio signal.
So it's bouncing off the ionosphere and then back down to Earth.
Precisely. But instead of hitting the ground directly, it bounces off somewhere else, allowing communication in this zone that's normally hard to reach.
So it's like a double bounce.
Exactly. A double bounce that opens up new communication possibilities.
What would a backscatter signal even sound like? Would I notice it?
People describe it as hollow or echoey, almost like talking through a tunnel.
That's kind of cool.
It is.
Yeah.
But it also requires more power to use effectively.
Okay, so we've got pop-up layers and double bounces. What other radio weirdness is out there?
Remember those auroras we talked about? The Northern Lights?
Oh, yeah, the light show.
Well, it turns out those shimmering curtains of light can actually reflect radio signals, too.
Whoa, seriously? The Northern Lights can bounce radio waves.
It's called aurora propagation. And it can create some pretty amazing paths for communication.
So I could use the Northern Lights to talk to someone far away.
Potentially, yeah. But the signals tend to be distorted, fading in and out. It's a bit like someone talking with a really sore throat.
A sore throat? That's a weird way to describe it.
Well, it's the best way I've heard. And speaking of unusual signal reflectors, you won't believe this one.
Hit me with it.
Meteors.
Meteors, like shooting stars.
The very same. Yeah. When they burn up in the atmosphere, they leave behind a trail of ionized gas.
Ionized. So electrically charged, like the ionosphere.
Yep. And that trail can reflect radio waves for a very short time.
So like a fleeting signal boost from a shooting star.
Exactly. It's called meteor scatter communication. The openings are super brief, but it's enough to make contacts over surprisingly long distances.
So you're saying there are people out there listening for meteor trails just to snag a quick chat?
You bet.
Yeah.
And there are certain times of the year when it's more likely to happen. Meteor showers, like the Perseids or the Geminids, really ramp things up.
Wow. Okay, so meteors, aurora, what else? My head's about to explode with all this radio craziness.
Well, hold on to your hat because there are two more unusual propagation modes we need to talk about. Trans-equatorial propagation and field-aligned irregularities.
Those are some serious science-y terms. Break it down for me.
Okay, so trans-equatorial propagation, or TP, happens near the magnetic equator.
The magnetic equator, like where the compasses point.
Exactly. The Earth's magnetic field lines are perpendicular to the sun's radiation there, and it creates these unique conditions in the ionosphere.
Unique how?
Imagine a signal bouncing off the ionosphere not once, but twice.
A double bounce, like backscatter, but on a larger scale.
You got it. TP can enable communication over ridiculously long distances, sometimes even reaching into those VHF frequencies.
VHF, so like FM radio again.
Yep, it's like a long-distance skywave on steroids.
Okay, that one is seriously wild. And what about those field-aligned irregularities?
Those are like small, super-dense patches of ionization that form in the ionosphere. Yeah, think of them as little pockets of extra reflectivity. They can bounce signals on really high frequencies, even above 200 megahertz.
Above 200 megahertz? That's like way up there.
It is. But the openings are super short-lived, often just seconds or minutes.
So it's like trying to catch a lightning bug in a jar.
A pretty accurate analogy. But for those lucky enough to experience it, it's a pretty amazing phenomenon.
Okay, so we've gone from basic ground waves and sky waves to bouncing signals off meteors, auroras, and these bizarre patches of ionization.
Radio propagation is full of surprises.
It's like a whole secret world of invisible communication pathways. Who knew there was so much going on up there?
It just goes to show how dynamic and complex our atmosphere and the space environment are.
It's mind-blowing. I'm looking at my radio with a whole new level of appreciation.
It really makes you appreciate the invisible forces that connect us.
Totally. So we've explored the wild world of radio wave propagation, from the basics to the truly bizarre.
And it's time to bring it all together.
In our final part, we'll recap everything and see what we've learned from this deep dive into the invisible world of radio waves. So after all that, my brain is buzzing, almost like a radio signal itself.
Mine too. It's amazing how much complexity there is in something we can't even see.
Right. Like, we started this deep dive talking about how radio waves are these invisible messengers traveling at the speed of light.
Yep, part of that electromagnetic spectrum, just like light, but with longer wavelengths and lower frequencies.
But it's not just about sending these waves out. It's about how they travel through the Earth's atmosphere. That's where things get really interesting.
The ionosphere is the real star of the show, wouldn't you say?
Totally. It's like this giant invisible mirror reflecting radio waves back down to Earth, making long-distance communication possible.
And it's not just one big mirror either. There are those distinct layers, the D, E, F1, and F2 layers, all playing their part.
Yeah, remember how we talked about how those layers change throughout the day, thanks to the sun?
The sun, that's the real mastermind behind all of this.
Seriously, like, every time we thought we had a handle on things, the sun came along and threw in another twist.
Well, it is the source of all that radiation that ionizes the atmosphere in the first place.
Right, and that ionization is what makes the whole radio wave bouncing thing possible.
It all comes back to the sun. We talk about sunspots, those seemingly quiet regions on the sun's surface.
But they're not quiet at all, are they?
Nope. They're actually regions of intense magnetic activity blasting out extra radiation. That's where the solar flux index comes in, remember?
Oh, yeah. Higher solar flux means a more energized ionosphere.
And a more energized ionosphere means better conditions for higher frequency radio waves to travel farther.
So amateur radio operators love those high solar flux numbers.
Absolutely.
Mm.
But it's not all sunshine and roses. The sun also has a bit of a temper, you know, with those solar flares and coronal mass ejections.
Yeah, those can really mess things up. Radio blackouts, disruptions to power grids, even problems with satellites.
It's a reminder that we're really at the mercy of the sun when it comes to radio communication.
But at least there are some patterns to the sun's behavior, right?
Thankfully, yes. The 27-day solar rotation cycle and the 11-year solar cycle give us some predictability.
So it's not complete chaos.
Well, controlled chaos, maybe.
Fair enough. But then we went beyond those regular patterns and dove into the truly weird world of radio propagation.
The stuff that makes you question everything you thought you knew about radio.
Like sporadic E, where these temporary layers of ionization just pop up in the ionosphere, creating these unexpected paths for communication.
It's almost like the ionosphere is playing tricks on us.
Yeah.
Creating these little windows of opportunity for higher frequency communication.
And then there's backscatter, where a signal bounces off the ionosphere and then off the ground, reaching areas that would normally be in a radio shadow.
A double bounce for the win. It's amazing how creative radio waves can be when it comes to finding a path.
And who could forget aurora propagation, using those beautiful curtains of light near the poles to bounce radio signals?
Talk about a natural radio repeater.
And then there's meteor scatter, using the ionized trails of meteors to briefly reflect signals over long distances.
It's like catching a whisper from a shooting star.
And don't forget those other strange modes, like trans-equatorial propagation with its double bounce off the ionosphere near the magnetic equator.
And those super dense patches of ionization, the field-aligned irregularities reflecting signals on incredibly high frequencies.
It's mind-blowing to think about all these different ways radio waves can travel. It's like a whole secret world of invisible communication pathways.
And we've only just begun to scratch the surface.
Exactly. So to our listener, keep exploring, keep listening, and who knows what other radio wonders you might discover out there.
The world of radio is full of surprises.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of radio wave propagation.